ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Especially everyone who gave, because some people actually gave towards Easter Faith Conference. Thank you for your. It's a seed sown in righteousness that has a guaranteed harvest. Pray that the God of heaven, who saw everything you have done, will reward you in your family, in your business, in your career path, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we start a new series, for this new quarter, which we have generally tagged a Bible prayer series. In the last quarter, we were dealing with Bible Faith series. So this quarter, we'll be expanding on Bible prayer series. When I say Bible prayers, what does it mean to pray? Who do we pray to? What is the requirement? So by the grace of God, Sundays, Wednesdays, April, May, and then June, that's a quarter, Abby. So we will look at the various aspects of it. Why do we have to do that? If you look at the things we generally do in Christendom, there are things that when you really ask people, why are you doing this? People's response largely most of the time is that's the way it's been done. Or that's the way it has been done. There are rules that guide our lives. The things that we do. There is a game called football. Generally, you kick it with your feet or foot. But in some parts, like America, they use their hands. So you can apply the rule when it comes to football that you have to use your foot. You can apply it during the other football game. So there are rules concerning prayers. Why do we pray? So today, I just laid the foundation. And I titled this Effective Prayer Conversation, or Conversations, as it were. Effective Prayer. And we believe everyone in this room, you want to have a kind of fulfillment. Everyone watching online, you want to see that your prayers are answered. I don't think I personally want to pray and not receive answers to my prayers. I don't think I want to just say, oh, there is a God who answers prayer. Unto him shall all flesh come. And I've been praying for years, and I can't readily say that this is the answer to my prayer. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer. So he's committed to answer our prayers. So it simply suggests that when we don't have answers, tangible answers, it means we are not playing according to the rules of the game. Prayer conversation is largely a spiritual experience. I think that's the first thing everyone must understand. It's not physical activities. It's largely a spiritual experience. Is largely a spiritual engagement. Jesus teaching the disciples how to pray, even before the evolution of the New Testament church, he says, when you pray, this is the manner. So there is rule that guides that. So we look extensively. So this morning, as I lay this foundation, open your Bibles, please, with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We read through verses 10 to 15. 1 John chapter 5, First John is in the New Testament, and it still was the book of Revelation. First John chapter 5. And please, I will encourage as Lighthouse members, come to church with your Bible. There is an element when you open your Bible and then you read along. The Bible says, till I come, give attention to reading. We are so visual. That's who we are in this generation. I mean, during the Easter Faith Conference, we noted something, that all through the 2 days or 3 days of Easter Faith Conference, we didn't have more than 300 people sitting to listen to the word. On the day of drama, close to 1,000 people. So we are visual driven. But when you come, please, as a member of this church, as a believer in Christ, as a soldier of the Lord, don't forget your weapon of warfare. The Bible. I know you have it on the phones. It's okay. But also, get a hard copy. I just bought this new one last week. I spent money to buy many Bibles. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I want to understand the different thoughts, the different rendering. And most of the time when I prepare messages, I don't even have some of the scriptures that I quote, but out of the abundance of my personal study, these scriptures just come and join things together. And if we want to grow, I mean, let me remind you, the Sunday school song, read your Bible and pray every day. Pray every day if you want to grow. And what is the growth? 2 Peter 3:18, we are growing into the image and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, 1 John chapter 5, from verse 10, it says, he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. So, there is something about our faith. When you believe on Jesus, there is a witness. He said, he that believed not God has made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son, he has the life. He that does not have the Son of God has not that kind of life, the God kind of life. He says, these things have I written unto you, that you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that yet may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14. I just want to read it in context. But verse 14, where we are drawing our thoughts from this morning. It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything. But you see, people have also missed out on that. They say, I can ask God for anything. No, you are not asking according to the rule. He said, ask anything according to his will. According to his will. What is his will? His word is his will. He said, when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Can you see the key to effective prayers? Or prayer conversation. There is a confidence. There is an assurance. There is a moral persuasion. There is a fervency. There is a faith that is steered in the word of God when we ask according to his will. And in this series, we just look at that. The fact that, number one, growth is a process. Growth is a process. When it comes to the subject of prayer, the element of growth also comes in. There are certain things, I mean, you should ask yourself, if you are really growing in Christ, you should ask yourself, why is it that when you first gave your heart to the Lord, before you finish asking, you have answers to your prayers? So what, and then 2 years, 6 years down the line, is as if the heaven is closed. Why? I mean, you should ask us questions. The reason is, well, maybe not the reason, but the reason is there are certain things that God expects of you. When you were a child, you spoke as a child. You taught as a child. You reasoned as a child. But now you should be growing. There are responsibilities. If you have a 10-year-old, your 10-year-old doesn't ask for feeding bottle anymore. If he does, it calls for concerns. Calls for concern. A 15-year-old, you don't wake up them up in the morning anymore and say, go and brush your teeth. A 21-year-old, you don't ask them to make their bed in the morning. I know some of these things are still probably happening to people. But the truth is that we have outgrown that. We should have grown that. A 35-year-old should not be bedwetting. So when you look at this thing, what makes such difference is growth. There are expectations. Growth is a process. So to grow up in Christ is learning to take up responsibilities. God's nature is love. I will relate some of these things to the subject of prayers in weeks to come. God's nature is love. God does not want the death of a sinner. So nobody should pray that somebody should die. His nature is in us. And if his nature is truly in us, we will begin to see things from his perspective. We will begin to make a demand from his perspective. We will begin to see life from how God sees life. If you don't know, I'm saying that to you today, under God. Man is created in the image and in the likeness of God. No matter what they have done to you, you should not wish anybody to die. I know the place will be quiet this morning, but that's the reality. That's why God don't answer such prayers. Because he does not want anyone to perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of his repentance. So, as a child of God, his nature is in us. And we need to grow. I can't be asking my parents now, pocket money. That's anathema. That's a curse. If they want to give me money, fine. But I can't be making demand. And now you think, where's my pocket money? The money I asked you for last week. I know people still do it. But in the mind of such parents, they have concerns. When will my child grow up? When will my child grow up? And for those of us who are training children, you will know, you will see it as they grow. There are certain things you do for them, isn't it? The natural father. You have their bath. Sometimes your son or your daughter say, I can have my bath. Even though you have to still supervise them until you are sure. But that's, it suggests to you, it gladdens your heart as a parent that your child is growing. The same thing. We must learn to take responsibilities as children of God, and it gladdens the heart of God that we are growing. Can I have an amen this morning? So, if we are not growing, then we are carnal. We are carnal. The word carnality means body rule. The word carnality means fleshly. It means we are led by our senses. And the believer in Christ is not supposed to be led by his senses. I'm just trying to lay foundations this morning. We are not supposed to be led by our senses. We are supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. And when you put that in the context of prayer, is one of my points for today, you will know that prayer that are effective are the ones that we are led to pray. And if we are led to pray them, there must be scriptures that gives us that confidence, that assurance that when we pray this according to his will, he hears us. Can I have an amen again? So if we are carnal, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, if you can just display it for us, it shows us the character of carnality. He said, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Verse 2 says, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still body ruled. You are still sense ruled. You are still bodily led. He said, and how do you see? He said, there are envy, strife, divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You and I, who are born again, we are not ordinary men anymore. We are not natural men. We are supernatural. And God expects us to take responsibilities. Amen. Ephesians 4:13 talks about the character of a carnal person. Ephesians 4:13 said, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, not carnal man, perfect man. And that man has the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there are just five basic things that I want to mention this morning for any one of us to operate in the realm of effective prayer conversation, whether on your own or when you stand to pray with other people or you stand to pray within the body of Christ. These are five basic things that you must please take note of. In James chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible is so instructive about the subject of prayer. James 5, 17, if you can let us have it in the Amplified Translation. The Bible says, Elijah was a man like you and I, but he prayed. The word earnestly there, it means consistently. It means with passion. It means with a heartfelt desire. It said Elijah was a human being like with a nature such as we have with feelings, affection, and a constitution like us. But he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and no rain fell on the heart for 3 years and 6 months. Can we read verse 18? And then he prayed again, and the heaven supplied rain, and the land produces its crops as usual. You will agree with me, even if you don't agree with me, that people in that culture, because it was something that affected the whole nation, they must have also engaged in prayers, yet they did not see answer to their prayer. But Elijah prayed. And when he prayed, look at what verse 19 says. No. Sorry. Can you go to 16? Please. Say, confess your step. Confess to one another, therefore, your fault, your sleep, your first step, your offenses, your sin, and pray also for one another that you may be healed and be restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. This is where I'm going. He said, the earnest, which means heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. So when we pray, what we are doing, because we engage the supernatural, we are making tremendous power available. So first thing is number one, effective prayer conversation is the divine privilege of every child of God. Effective prayer conversations is the divine privilege of every child of God. So it means God wants us to pray. It means he wants us to, the word conversation, it means fellowship. The word conversation means koinonia or communion. The word conversation means intercourse, which is born out of our relationship with our Father. So what we have is that divine privilege. That's why Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly. Let us come. It's a divine privilege. It's not even supposed to be for selected people. Hey, you know, sometimes, you know, this is the way our mind is conditioned around this thing. Sometimes we feel or we believe, as we are fellowshipping here this morning, if Bishop Oyedepo enters there, Baba, at kilometer 46, Benihin, Rehan Bonke, all of them are seated here. And then we raise prayer point. You know, people just believe that because they are here, all our prayers are answered. No. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Because there has to be us also aligning to the rules. The effectual fervent prayer. For example, if they raise a prayer point and we are praying for Nigeria, if we don't believe that God will answer our prayer, it's just the use of words. So, it's our divine privilege. You can't cede it to anyone. It's communion. It's communion. It's born out of your relationship. So this communion can take place anywhere. While you are walking on the road, while you are doing your money chores, prayer walking, while you are in the bathroom, if you are flying in an airplane, if you sit in a boardroom, it's your divine privilege. You talk to your father. You talk to your father. You talk to your father. And you see, there is just one thing about this divine privilege. The Trinity is involved in it. The Trinity. The Father is involved in it. And the Father means the source. Paul says something in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, I bow my knees to the Father. So, they are involved. The Father is involved. Jesus, who is our older brother, is also involved. In Hebrews 7:25, we see his own involvement. Hebrews 7:25, God is involved. Ephesians 3:14, Jesus, our older brother, is involved. Hebrews 7:25, that's each time you pray. It's because it's your divine privilege. The Trinity is involved. Each time you dare to believe his word and pray, the Holy Spirit is also involved. Who is our helper, our strengthener, our intercessor? Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit is involved. The Holy Spirit is involved. So it is our divine privilege, and we must utilize it. We can't cede it to anyone. The second thing is that effective prayer conversation is an act of service. Prayer is not a body. It's an act of service. It's an act of service. It's an act of your pure devotion. I don't think any believer should run the whole day without having conversation with his father. It's not. It's dangerous. You may not pray too long, but you must not leave without praying. You can't leave the day. Because, you see, prayer suggests our total dependence on him. In Proverbs 2:6, it says, for the Lord God is wisdom. How many people need wisdom for daily living? Yeah, it says, for the Lord, Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord God is wisdom, and out of his mouth comes what? Knowledge and understanding. So, we all need wisdom. We all need knowledge. We all need understanding. So, is an act of service. Is our pure devotion. Is our worship. Unfortunately, in Christendom, we have just reduced it as a means to an end. If you have a need, just pray. No. Beyond you having, whether you have a need or not, you must pray. Because Trinity is engaged. You must. You know, these are issues or challenges some of our brethren have when they go to the more advanced world. Because we have abused prayer here. We literally pray for everything. We pray for NEPA to come. We pray for NEPA not to take light. We pray for water. We pray that, oh, Lord, by the time I'm waking up tomorrow, there should be still be left. I'm tired. I want to sleep now so that I can iron my clothes. We pray for each journey, even from Ikeja to, we pray. Has it ever occurred to you that no pilots don't pray before they take off the... Because they have obeyed the rules. If a pilot will pray, he will just pray for wisdom to be able to do what he's supposed to do. Praise God. So it's a challenge for many of our people when they go to where things are working, they don't go to church anymore. It's a challenge for many of them. They said our own Christianity is different. No, it's their own Christianity. They were not properly discipled. So prayer should not be reduced to a panic mode. So a lot of people pray when they have problems. A lot of people pray when they have issues. A lot of people pray out of doubt, out of fear, out of unbelief, as it were. Some people are fearful. They say, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, Oluwa, Jah, Oluwa, intervene, take control, take control, take control. Prayer should be born out of a loving relationship. It's pure worship. Even the things that you are praying for, if you have also entered into this realm, he would have mentioned it to you even before it happened. He said, call unto me and I will answer and I will show you great and wonderful things that you do not know. And I have an amen this morning. So, we must get involved in this heart. It's out of love. You know, we have so many needs around here. So, a lot of people have just reduced prayer. God, I have a problem. Then, God, my car is not working. Then you pray. God, as we are going, guide us. No kidnappers on the road. And then people live in fear all through 3-4 hours journey. Whereas you can switch to the realm of fellowship with the Father. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, prayer or conversation is every believer's ministry. Let me just address that. You know, sometimes when people have engaged their communion more than other people, they said they are intercessors. It's just somebody who engaged their ministry. No, prayer is service of every believer. Say the more you pray, the more the glory of God rubs on you. And the more the glory of God rubs on you, the more he gives you burden and responsibility in the place of prayer. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. You know, so what I've just said now, I'm shaking table for some people because some people who have developed that, they have also merchandised it. So this kind of problem, let me just push it to the intercessors. No. Every believer is our service to God, our act of devotion. Jeremiah 33:3 is the secondly, is our service to the body of Christ. Ephesians 3:14-16, it talks about what we can pray, what we can pray for the church, is our service to other people. Because God is looking for someone to stand in gap. Ezekiel 22:30, God is looking for someone to stand in gap. Then it's also our service to the nation. So service to God, service to the body of Christ, service to others, service to the nation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know, we pray for Nigeria every time. But it's born out of revelation. There was one day I was complaining about the country, just like every other person we pray. He said, learn to pray for the peace of your nation and you will see what I will do. And so, over time that we have done it, even as a congregation, even personally, I hear, I see things concerning our nation. And one of those things that I've seen in recent times, the worst we could ever be, that's where we are now. The way from here, where we are, is upward. And it's an upward growth. People don't do that because the problem can be very overwhelming. But you and I, when we share that burden, that ministry in the place of prayer, God open our eyes. It's a service. It's devotion. It's your responsibility to pray for your nation. And you know, this is one of the things God has said. He said, by the time I am redistributing the word of Nigeria again, he said, your people, your community, you will have people who are partakers of it. You know that when they went to war in Israel, when the war ceased, they had to divide the land. And that's why everyone who is praying for this nation at this point, wherever you are, whichever denomination that they are, they will be partakers of God's inheritance concerning this nation. Huh. Because you are asking the question, so what about me? What about my need? You know what Jesus said? If you don't do the service to God, to the body of Christ, to others, to the nation, then he said, seek ye first. That's what he said. Seek ye first, Matthew 6:33. So if you want your own need to be met, meet God's need. Meet his need. Meet his need, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So God is interested in the body of Christ. He's interested in other people. He's interested in the nation. And when we prioritize that, our own needs are met. Our own needs are met. Our own needs are met. The third thing, effective prayer conversation is an art. A-R-T is an art. A-R-T is an art. So you can learn it. It's an art where we demonstrate the nature and character of God. The nature and character of God. When we pray, when we learn how to pray, we are embracing and sharing in the life of God. God rubs on us. We see and act differently. When we pray, we are living in consciousness of his divine presence. When we pray, I love what Minister Sunday said earlier on. You know, sometimes we focus so much on this enemy thing that we forget about the greatness of our God. You know, one of the things that I saw in the scripture that has helped me, he said, casting all your cares upon him. Casting all, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all. James 4:7 also emphasized that. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Casting all, not some. All of your cares, all of your worries, all of your anxiety. So prayer is an art that you can learn. Prayer is living in the consciousness of divine presence. Prayer is not works. It's not. And it begins the moment you open your eyes each day. You know what Job said? I think it was Job. He said, your visitation has preserved my... Was it Job or David? He said, your visitation has preserved my spirit. It begins the moment you open your eyes. It begins and it runs all through the day. And that's why, I mean, you don't use tongues only when you come to church. Because it's no works. And you see, the reason why all of us are probably not effective in this prayer is because we have not learned to yield our spirit man. I mean, if you do it, the Bible says secret things belong to God. But God is surely committed. God is looking for people to share burdens. But if all I am bothered with is my own needs, if all I am bothered with is the enemy that has threatened to pursue me in the village, I will not see the greater thing that God is doing or wants to do. Because all that I'm doing, I'm chasing, I have seen that power to those things above his own power. Can I have an amen this morning? So prayer is not works. We cultivate dedicated time. I mean, as you grow, you have to master it. It may take you longer. Some people, it takes them 1 hour to really get into the flow. Some people, 30 minutes. Some people, 10 minutes. Some people, 5 minutes. You know, as you do that, you know, the glory of God just opens up. And it takes you, sometimes it's few seconds. Lord, what are you saying here? Sometimes it's, I will give us prayer trigger. Sometimes you are driving and certain things just happen. And then declaration, if your spirit is open enough, declaration can save lives. Do you know that all these bombings, all these things that are happening, okay, look at the war in Ukraine. Look at the things that are happening in Northeast Nigeria. Do you know that many innocent people, at the end of the day, were the ones who just lose their lives cheaply? So we cultivate. We pray hard and long. What that means is not activity. It's consistency. It's consistency. To see the will of God come. To see His will established. In Ephesians 6:18, the Bible talks about this. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always. We get into different kinds of prayer as we teach. But he said, praying always. Always. Not sometime. Not just when you come to church. Not just when you have a prayer need. And you say to your brethren, brother, sister, agree with me. But as a believer, praying always. With all prayer. And then supplication, not in the flesh. In the spirit. So it means you are inspired to pray always. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18:1 said, he spoke a parable to them. We'll highlight the parable in the course of this teaching. That men ought always to pray and not lose heart. And not lose heart. We can't pray for Nigeria now. And then at the end of the service, you get to the car park, you meet your brother. Say, oh, bro, our business. He said, ah, this Nigeria don't finish. You have actually negated your prayers. That's the truth. Because the words that we speak, the Bible said, do not say in front of an angel, it was an error. So prayer is responsibility. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. What does the Bible say there? It says, rejoice always. Verse 17. Pray without what? Ceasing. So praying hard, praying long is the consistency. You know, we've been taught about prayer that if you can move your head very well, then that's fervency. I mean, we will get into prayer acts, really. But the truth is that if I'm moving my head, if I'm not praying according to His will, according to His will, it's very important. In Philippians 4, verse 6, when I'm praying, I am aware of His constant abiding presence. Look at what He says here. He said, be anxious for nothing. So, we don't pray out of anxiety. That's what he's simply saying. Even when people, I mean, if you have interacted with me, even when people say, we need to pray, the first question I ask them, about what? About what? And then the second thing that I say to them, can we look for a scripture that can help us with this request that we have in our hand? That's the basis of two shall agree, touching anything here on the heart, and it shall be done by our Father in heaven. If I have a challenge, I have a problem, and I can't find a solution in the world, if I just use words in prayer, God intervene. I'm sure that God himself will say, in what? That's why he said, whatsoever you desire, whatsoever. But that whatsoever, there must be a provision in his word for it. He said, when you pray, so you have to desire it, you have to find it out in the word of God, and then when you pray, you must also believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. He said, then you shall have whatever you say. So we don't pray out of fear. We don't pray out of anxiety. The fourth thing that effective prayer conversation is developing our loving relationship with our Father. It's developing our, if it's, his prayer is going to be effective, if that conversation is to be effective, our focus must be on our communion, on our intercourse with the Father, fellowship with the Father. We must learn to discern his body. And one of the ways, because we use this in communion, one of the ways we can learn to discern the body of Christ is how we judge God. We must learn to judge him faithful. We must learn to judge him loyal. We must learn to judge him our ever-present help. God doesn't bail out on us when we get into trouble. We must learn to judge him. We must discern his body. We must learn to know that even before we ever get into that problem, he's already ahead of us. And he has the solution handy and ready. We must learn to believe him. He said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. We must learn to judge him that way. He said, lean not on your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So, we must judge God faithful. Even when challenges, life throws up challenges, and it's bringing us pain, it's bringing us overwhelming situation, let us judge God faithful. You know, most of the time, our mind is tuned to when things are going on. We can say, God of miracle, now my power, and we sing all those things, the activity. Ah, God is faithful, God is. Just one switch. Is this still faithful? So, the focus. He said he prepared. I love that scripture. One of these days, we might preach around it. He prepared a table before you in the presence. Hey, it's not secret. It's open. In the presence of your supposed enemy who doesn't want you to eat. And God didn't just say, you know, when we're growing up, you know, sometimes some mothers, especially in polygamous setting, they just call. They don't want to cook for everybody in the home. I don't know, people from that home can testify. They just call their own. They can say, Akin, wah, ba mi mu kombi. Just say, ba, sari, je. That's not the kind of God that we serve. And then when Akin finish, when, just clean your mouth and Akin now go. But we find out that he has new adrenaline propping in his blood. Praise God. No, God is not like that. God is aware of the enemy. But when we all go to all these places to eat, and they say course meals, and you eat till you drop. And as you are eating, it's being replenished. So how much more if God will set a table before you? Please let us focus on that fellowship. Effective prayer conversation is developing our loving relationship. God is very much interested in our lives than we do. And the way this conversation should be, there is no informal thing. There is no formal thing. You know, some people believe that unless they quote Old King James English Bible, God doesn't hear their prayer. Oh, precious Father, thou art God. You are God in all your way. And then they go. And then they begin to negate. We wretched sinners. We worms have come to you. No. I'm sure that if any of us, the parable of the prodigal son even tells us the love that is in the heart of this father. Messed up, messed out. And he condemned himself, and the father said, well, you have been found. And lastly today, effective prayer conversation is inspired by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Effective prayer conversation is inspired by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We can't walk in confusion. We can't walk in fear. We can't walk in doubt. Our heads does not have the persuasion that your heart will bring to you when you have issues. Your head can't reason it out. So effective prayer is not in the jumping, it's not in the hallowing, it's not in the sweating, it's not in the rolling. No. I mean, it is, what is God saying in the midst of this thing? And you know, if there is something that God is saying, Psalm 46 gives us an insight into it. It said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. There was someone who had an experience with a plane crash. And he said that when that aircraft was descending, he said, God, am I coming home? He said, no, you are not coming home. So be still. Be still. And he said, when the aircraft hit the water, the aircraft broke in front of him, in front of his seat, broke into two. And he said, like a force, ejected him. His seatbelt, everything was still on. He said, Lord, I mean, just be still. And you know when you see large expanse of water, take grace to be still, isn't it? So he said he was trying to remove the seatbelt and all that as he was struggling. Then him and the seatbelt just went to the water. So he started drinking water. He said, Lord, I'm still. Lord, I'm still. He said that thing, whatever it is, floated him back, which is the spiritual fall, floated him back to the... So he said when he saw water, his heart broke again. So he just closed his eyes. Whatever it is, he said it was like somebody just pushing him and push him to the shore. Be still. It's not, you see, when problem of life hits, that's when we know the stuff that we are all made of, isn't it? So the focus, like I said, should be on the loving relationship, and then the focus of our lives or prayer conversation to be on God, His Word, the Holy Spirit. See, all these things that we form, you know, there are many prayer points you come across these days. And then you are wondering, can this sustain people through the crisis of life? When boys are separated from the men, is our relationship over? When wheat is separated from the chaff is our relationship. Be still. It's not that day that guy came across that scripture. In fact, he said he came across it about 5, 6, 7 years before that time. But it became handy. Proverbs 24:10. He said, when you and I fail in the days of adversity, it means our strength is small. So, when we are still, how does this being still? Romans 8:28. No matter the adversity, all things, Romans 8:28, all things work together, all things, the negative, the positive, all things work together for good. Because of what? I love God. You love God. And because we are called according to His purpose. 1 John 2:20. That's being still. 1 John 2:20. 1 John said, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you know all things. Verse 27. Verse 27. Said, but this anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. It doesn't go on holidays. When you have issues in life. He said, you do not need anyone to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. I don't want to interject something. That's the New Testament believer here talking. You are not supposed to be led and guided by the prophets. So he teaches you concerning all things. And this anointing is true. and it's not a lie. And just as he's taught you, you must. So if we are not abiding in him, then it's very difficult. Praise God. As I praise the Lord. So in closing, what are prayer conversation triggers? Number one, your predominant thoughts. Be sensitive to it. Your predominant thoughts. So you may wake up in the morning, or you are driving through certain spaces, or you are in a room with people. Your predominant thoughts. So about people, about places, about events, if you are alive to the Holy Spirit, it triggers prayer conversation. Your predominant thoughts. Secondly, the breaking or prevailing or trending news. For those of you who watch news channel a lot, I mean, something happened yesterday, and as I read it, I said, Lord, no other lives will be lost in this. And by evening, I was told that those who die with the king, everybody vanish. You know, you know. If you don't know, be alive to your environment. Be alive to your environment. Then everybody vanish. I said, well, this is the new era. Who wants to die with any king? Who wants to die with any king? Huh? The dire with the king. Also our families, isn't it? It's a father to somebody. So breaking or prevailing news. Trending news. I mean, it's just, if you are sensitive, it just awaken that spirit in you. Number three, when you are faced with provocation, threat, persecution, then it's time to pray. It's time to pray. So prayer is work, oh. But it's a good work. And you can engage it. Then lastly, when your heart is overwhelmed, it's a prayer trigger. When your heart is overwhelmed, sometimes we all get there. You can't find help, even from outside. You look at your network. You can't find anybody. Nobody understands what you are going through. It's a time to pray. And when you do it with your Father, that's it. He said, I bow my knees. I bow my knees. The Father, the source, I bow my knee. And I'm living in the consciousness that Jesus, my ever-living intercessor. I don't know if it has happened to you. It has happened to me. I'm overwhelmed. I place call to my, even people in my accountability group. It says the number that you are calling is switched off. Or I place call. Say this person is on another call. You do it 5 minutes later, he's still on another call. And then, or I place call, he's totally switched off. And you meet the person the following week and say, actually, I was also on a retreat. So sometimes you are overwhelmed. Help is not available. But this one, inside you, it doesn't enter voicemail. It doesn't say all trunks are busy. No. Because it's on the inside of you. It teaches you what to do. When your father, your mother, nobody, mentor can give you counsel, it gives you counsel. It gives you counsel. But we get into it. But I want us to practicalize Ephesians 3:14. In the next couple of months, this is what I want us to do. These are things we've lost touch with. So if you want to do it with me this morning, if you don't want to, just sit down. If you can find your way, just kneel around this altar. And just pray in the Holy Ghost for the next 5 minutes. If you don't want, sit. If you want. These are things that we've lost touch.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more.